joining us in church. We welcome you to stand and worship with us, those here in the house this morning, those watching online. We welcome you to worship with us as well and give God praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Here we go.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need, you got. There's honey in the rock.
Praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living well. And only you can satisfy. Sweetness at the mercy seat. Now I've tasted, it's not hard to see. And only you can satisfy.
There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock.
Freedom where the Spirit is. Bounty in the wilderness. You will always satisfy.
Sunny in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need, you got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in your blood, healing in your hand. Started blowing when you said it is done. Everything.
Keep finding, you keep giving, you keep providing. I am all that I need.
That's right.
You are all that I need. And I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I am all that I need. You are all that I need. Come on, church, and help me say.
I keep looking, I keep finding, you keep giving, and keep providing. I am all that I need. You are all that I need. And I keep praying, you keep moving, I keep praising, you keep proving. I am all that I need. You are all that I need. You are all that I need. Yeah.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't have to worry now that I know.
Everything I need, you got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in your blood, healing in your hand. Started blowing when you said it is done. Everything you did's enough.
It's honey in the rock.
It's honey in the rock. It's honey in the rock. It's honey in the rock.
Oh, how sweet, how sweet it is. Trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Somebody shout out a praise. We praise you this morning, God. We love you. We worship you. We give you all the glory. For you have been so good, Lord. Service where we welcome our prayer partners to come forward. And if you need prayer this morning, we welcome you. Don't be shy. Come forward. We want to pray and agree with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm tried so hard to see it. Took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve, and you take the broken things and raise them to glory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving cease. Oh, this is my victory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it. My voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority, yeah, Jesus has given me, yeah. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority, yeah, Jesus has given me. When I lift my voice, when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority, yes I do, Jesus has given me. Authority. Yes, I do.
Jesus has given.
When I lift my voice,
when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority.
Yes, I do.
Jesus has given.
When I open up my mouth,
when I open up my mouth, miracles start
making. I have the authority.
I have the authority.
Jesus gave it.
Crown me with confidence. I am seated
3 starts off by saying, many there be that trouble me. Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But that same chapter, that same song ends by saying, victory belongs to Jesus. May he bless his people. Victory belongs to God. May he bless his people. It doesn't matter which direction you're being attacked in, but I declare to you that he can be your champion this morning. He can be your warrior this morning. He can be everything that you need him to be so that you can come out of your storm, come out of your valley of the shadow of death victorious with a party on the other side. If you believe it, come on and bless his name. If you believe it, use that authority that he's given you. If you believe it, lift your voice and shout.
When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority, Jesus has
When I open up my mouth,
when I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority.
There's a word that just keeps resounding in my heart, and that is the word undefeated. 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 Because many times there are voices that tell you and circumstances that tell you that you have defeat in your future, or that what you're looking at is irreversible, or what you're seeing in your life is a failure. And God is not going to change it. But the truth is that he has already defeated every enemy that could come against you. He has already defeated every enemy. And so it is merely up to us as the body of Christ to step up and take what he has provided. And so I urge you today, whatever your circumstance, whatever you're facing, whatever situation you're in, whether it involves your children, whether it involves your finances, whether it involves your marriage, whatever the problem is that you're facing, I want you to think about the words that talk defeat to you, and I want you to speak back to them, and I want you to say that I am undefeated. I am undefeated because he has conquered it all. Come on, those words have to come out of your mouth. Let me tell you that I have walked the halls of my household and declared the word of God and changed circumstances by the power of the name of Jesus. And you can do the same. Just say, thank you, Lord, that I am undefeated that you have done it all. You don't have to do anything else. But I thank you right now that overwhelming victory is mine in every area of my life, in Jesus' name. That should lift your spirit. That should lift you. Amen. 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 You know, that heaviness that comes on you when you face difficult times, that heaviness that comes on you when you face loss, it lifts off of you when you begin to think of what He's done and what you have in Him. Amen? Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them how glad you are to see them. Beautiful songs. Amen. I love singing the truths of the Word of God. You know, you look back at some of the old hymns and they were filled with unbelief, and you know, in the sweet by and by we're going to have, in the sweet once we get to heaven, when we step over onto the streets of gold. But I like singing about what Jesus has done for me. Amen. We're so glad to see you in church this morning. Welcome to Ascend Church, to all of those that are watching online. We're glad you joined us this morning, to our Ascend Church family that are watching online. We miss you. We love you. We hope to see you soon. And thank you for joining us today. It's going to be a good day in the house of God. Amen. Plus, you got some very good smelling food waiting for you when you come out, right? I always like to just remind, for those that are watching and for those that are sitting here, because we have various ways that you can watch the service. You can watch on ascendchurch.us on our website. You can watch on our mobile app, which if you don't have, download it, because it has everything as well as the message. You can watch on Facebook Live, which many people watch on Facebook Live, and they watch it after the fact as well. And so the reach of our church extends far further than just these four walls. Amen. Praise God for technology. You can also watch on Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube, which is my favorite. So you can watch on all those different ways. But I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. Do we have anyone that's visiting for the first time this morning? I don't think I see anybody for the first time. Well, bring him for Christmas. Come on, family. And just let you know that our attendance register is going to come by. Just fill out, let us know that you're here. It really helps, Pastor. Just keep in touch with who's where. You know, sometimes somebody's not in church, and if you don't notice it, and you see them the next week, and they're like, oh, I was in hospital. And we've got no idea. So it's important for us to just know that you were here. Thank you for doing that. And if you don't receive our text message, you just text the word ASCEND to 745. I was wondering if it was up there. 745-5404. My dad was one of those people. My dad sold life insurance, and he determined to exercise his brain. So he said he was never going to write down a phone number. So he would say the phone number, then he'd say, tell me again. Put it in, and he wouldn't write down a phone number. And so I try to do that, but it doesn't always work. Praise God. Well, anyway, I just want to remind you, we're going to receive our offering this morning, but I want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. It doesn't change. It's that you would know God. How many of you feel like you're coming to know God better every time you come and hear the word? Amen. Secondly, that you would find freedom. You know, some things fall off of our life immediately, and some things it takes some steps to find freedom, but there's freedom for everybody. Thirdly, to discover your purpose, and lastly, to make a difference. That's what we want to be doing, is making a difference with our lives. Amen. And so right now we're going to be receiving the church offering, and it's an opportunity for us to give into the house of God. So we have a red envelope, and I think when you came in, you were given a Heart for the House envelope, the green one. And if you don't have one, just there's one in the seat front, back in front of you. But, you know, during December, we have our Heart for the House offering. And it's where we give above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. And it's to build God's house, and it's to show that we are grateful for what God has done in our lives. Amen. And I like to read you a passage of scripture from 1 Chronicles about David, which was, he's fascinating to read about his relationship with the Lord and how the Lord dealt with him. We learn a whole lot from it. But I want to say this to you, when you build God's house, God will build your house. And I'll show it to you from this scripture. It's quite a few verses, so if you forgot to read your Bible this week, I'll catch you up right now. 14 verses. It says in 1 Chronicles 17, after David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar while the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent." Nathan replied to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you." But that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their leaders whom I commanded to shepherd my people, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then," he tells Nathan the prophet, "tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says." Now, I love this. He says to the prophet, "Go and tell David, this is what God says. This is what I say to him. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock. I appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also subdue all your enemies. I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. Now, there's four big promises that are in here, and I just want to touch on them. But generous giving comes out of a grateful heart. And that's what touches the heart of God. It's about our heart attitude, right? And so David recognized that God had been incredibly gracious to him all his life. I mean, he was a shepherd boy, and what God did in his life. And he was incredibly grateful for it. And out of gratitude, he felt a need to build the house for God. And God was very touched by it. It really touched the heart of God. So God looks down with great favor on those who have a heart of generosity. Jesus said, "Give generously to God and he will give generously to you." That God responds to generosity. Jesus, you know, people often say, "Don't give to get." Jesus said, "Give and you will get." Like that, he's like, it's tied together. Amen. And so those don't have the numbers, but the first one is God, the first promise we see that Nathan says, because the Lord says, go and tell David, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm going to do for you. You know, sometimes we think offering is, oh, well, I'm just helping out the church. No, when you act in generosity, it's what is God's going to do for you. What do you want God to do for you in this coming year? This is what the reaction of God is, to send the prophet to say, listen to me, David, this is what I'll do for you because of what you're doing. First of all, he said he promised to make David's name one of the greatest. And you know it is. We all talk about him. They still make movies about him. They've got this awesome new, I saw the trailer of this awesome new animated movie. Even that I want to watch because his life is fascinating. So his name became so great. God said, I'm going to do some things for you, David, that you can't do for yourself, right? It's connected to his heart of generosity. Second of all, God promised him, I will subdue all your enemies. He had a lot of enemies. He had a lot of he had a lot, right? And they came at him from every angle, but somehow God subdued all his enemies. Then thirdly, God promised, he said, you build my house, David, I'm going to build you a house. But I want to tell you something, that it was more than a building. It was more than David having, David was in a palace, right? And so it wasn't about just a building. He's talking about his legacy, talking about his posterity. Do you want God to build your house? I mean, I want the work of God in my life to extend beyond my lifetime. I don't want it to be just what God does for me in these 90, 100 years, whatever it is that you live on earth. I want it to be something that is a legacy, that is lasting. And that's what he said to David. And Jesus said this, because we're talking about God building your house. Jesus said in Matthew, so above all things, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these less important things will be added to you abundantly. And in Luke, he said, he will always give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So he's saying, build God's house. He's going to build your house. Do for the Lord, and the Lord will do for you. Amen. And so God will not just build our physical home, but our marriage, our relationships, our career. Whatever it is we do, God will have a hand in making us succeed in all those areas. I want that. I want that. And all of this stems back. God's reaction to David, all of it stems back to God, his grateful heart and his generosity. And the fourth one, the last one, it said God promised that his love would never depart from David's house. Never depart from David's house. That's talking about generational. Generational. Not just David. Not just those alive now, but those to come. And do you want a generational blessing? That's something I pray over many, I claim over my life so much these days. As you start having kids and then you have grandkids, I want generational blessings. It's not just about me and my house. Amen? And so invest in the house of God. Invest in the house of God and see the blessings of God follow you all the days of your life. Amen. And so I just challenge you, just if it piques your interest, be generous towards the house of God. So that is, everybody got one of these when they came in. We ask you to just pray. There's no right or wrong number, but I ask you to pray because it's something that is between you and God, and it's something that's generous to me may not be generous to you. I could put in $500 and it not be generous because I have $500,000. You know what I mean? And so between you and God, just see what it is that he prompts you to do. We thank you for being faithful with that. And to those watching online, there's many ways that you can give. A lot of people, more and more people use the online giving. There's, as well as all of these, you can give online. But there's also Zelle, which Zelle is really nice because it has no fees. Cash App has no fees. So if you want to do that, we would appreciate it. And we're going to pray right now. You receive the Word of God. You know, I always want to bring it to you from God's Word because that's what matters. When you read the Word of God and you respond to that, that's when it works in your life. Amen. Father, I thank you for every man and woman and child sitting in this building today that are watching online. I thank you, Father, for the plans that you have for their life, the plans that you have for 2023, for their life, for them and for their entire household and for those that come after them. Father God, we just thank you for what you've given us. Each of us is so grateful We're so grateful for where you've taken us from, where you've brought us to, and what you've given us. And Father, we respond in kind, and I thank you for the blessings of God. Just like Nathan the prophet declared blessings over the people of God, I thank you. We declare that as we give, it is given back. I thank you that every need of every person is provided for. I thank you, Father, that you do miracles in situations where it looks like it ain't going to work out, where it looks like contracts are not working out, where it looks like the career is not going anywhere. We thank you, Father, for your miraculous hand working in the lives of your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and pass those. We're going to sing one more song. Don't stand up until the bucket's past you, but then we're going to sing one more worship song and get into the word. Okay. First of all, Okay. Just want to go over the Christmas calendar for you. Just put the Christmas calendar up for me, please. Thank you. We've got a whole lot going on. We've done some of it already, but this is a fun time of year. And so today we have Christmas Around the World potluck lunch. It's out there. Thank you to everybody who's brought something. Next Sunday we have regular service, which is going to be awesome. And then we're going to have a live nativity scene with the petting zoo. And the kids are all going to have a Christmas party. So parents, let your kids bring their friends. Tell your friends and let them bring their children. It's going to be a great Christmas event. And then on Saturday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, we are having a Christmas Eve service and a family photo op in person and online on December 24th at 6 p.m. It'll be a short service. And then on the 25th, which falls on a Sunday, we're going to have no in-person service. We're going to have a different online service, which we encourage you to watch. We'll have a couple of Christmas songs and a short Christmas message. So that's going to be great. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Yes, so am I on? You hear me? Are you here? Are you happy? Are you happy to be in God's house on Sunday? Nowhere else I'd rather be, I tell you that right now. Not just because it's Christmas time, but just want to again reiterate that we have Christmas Eve is going to be 6 o'clock till about 7:15. And then on Christmas morning, we're doing a special. We could call it a Christmas special. It's probably going to be about 40 minutes long, and you can watch that on Christmas morning. It'll be completely different to Christmas Eve. And then, of course, what better way to start the year than honoring the Lord? Because you know what the first day of the year is in 2023? January 1st is a Sunday. So some folks will be like, well, I'm going to be out Saturday night. What's it? New Year's Eve? I can't come to church. You don't want to miss Sunday. You don't want to miss the first Sunday of the year starting out 2023. Putting God first, honoring Him first. That's on January 1st. Amen. Stand up with us. We're going to sing one last song. We're in a series. We're in a series called The Rescue. And this song is called Came to My Rescue. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to the earth to rescue us? That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. We celebrate Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, leaving heaven and coming to the earth, and taking upon Himself flesh for one reason, to lay His life down, to rescue us, to redeem us, to take our sin. Let's worship Him. Let's let Him know that we appreciate Him this morning. Let's worship the Lord. Let's sing together. Amen.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. And my whole life I place in your presence at your throne.
I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are.
And my whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy, humbled I bow down in your presence at your throne. Oh,
I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where
to our rescue. We thank you that you sent Jesus to the earth to save us. Lord, at this time of year especially, we remember Jesus who left heaven, came to the earth, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, laid his life down, took the sin of the world upon himself so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be redeemed. Lord, we are so thankful. Thank you for rescuing us. And Lord, you've called us to reach out, to share the good news of the rescue with people around us who are drowning, who are sinking to the bottom. Father, I pray that every single one of us would have a passion for lost people, that we would have a passion to reach lost people, that we would have a passion to make disciples. Lord, I pray that Ascend Church will be a soul-winning, disciple-making church, Father. We thank you and praise you for what you're doing in us and what you're doing through us, Lord. And I thank you, every one of us going to walk out of here today. This is going to be a significant service for us because we are going to be trained in how to share the gospel, Father. And I pray that from today, Lord, that we will begin to share the gospel like never before. And I give you all the praise, Lord, for everything that will be done. Thank you, Lord, for anointing me and helping me to speak your word today in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen, somebody. Praise the Lord. Turn one more time to your neighbor and tell them you're glad to see them. Glad that they're here. Chester, maybe just one, two, let's see. Okay. Can I ask someone to help me, please? I need two of the ushers to help me to bring this this board up on stage for me. You may need more than one person. Thank you, Tom. Just bring that board up here. Thank you. Just get my props set up. Let's turn it. Where we go? There we go. There you go. I do. Let me bring that back a little bit back, Leo, because I've got to stand in front of that. There you go. All righty. Perfect. And then that you can just rest on the bottom here. Yeah, that's great. Praise the Lord. Well, we are in a series called The Rescue. How many of you have been here for, this is part number three. How many of you were here for part number one and part number two? Wave your hand at me if you were here. All right. See, some folks, not everyone was here. I want to really, really encourage you. If you weren't here for the first two parts of this, please go and watch it on our app, on our YouTube channel. Go and watch part one and part two. This is, to me, is one of the most important thing that you can ever learn as a believer is how to share your faith, how to share the gospel. That's what we've been learning the past couple of weeks. And we're going to continue with part number three. Last week I shared with you eight reasons why should I? Why should I be a witness? Why should I make disciples? We looked at eight different reasons. We said, first of all, because Jesus told us to. That should be enough right there. Secondly, because our culture is in crisis. They need Jesus. Because, number three, you are God's spokesperson. You are His ambassador. Number four, because of the reality of hell. Because people are headed for an eternity in hell if they do not be rescued by receiving Jesus. Number five, because of the celebration and the rewards in heaven. There are rewards that come to those who win souls. Think about it. This is the number one most important thing to the heart of God. How much do you think God is going to reward people that win souls? Number six, because it releases the power of the Holy Spirit to work in me and to work through me. Number seven, because it gets my priorities in order. And number eight, because it gives me an eternal purpose. Now, I want to clarify something that I said last Sunday in regards to our culture being in crisis. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Woe to those who call what is right wrong and who call what is wrong right." Now, I believe we're living in a culture today where what the Bible says is right, they tell us is wrong. And what the Bible says is wrong, they tell us is right. Now, I am holding to what the Word of God says. I don't care what they say. I'm going to believe and hold firm to what God says. And last week I said that in today's culture, if you hold to biblical values, if you don't agree with some of the transgender ideology, if you don't want your six-year-old or your kindergarten child to be taught about transgender and homosexuality in kindergarten, then some people will call you a bigot, a racist, or even a white supremacist. Now, somebody was upset by that comment that I made because they felt that it could be misinterpreted, that I was giving white supremacists a pass. So I want to clarify, I do not support white supremacy. I don't support that ideology. Let me tell you what white supremacy is, the definition of what it is. The dictionary says that white supremacy is the belief that white people constitute a superior race and should therefore dominate society, typically to the exclusion or detriment of other racial or ethnic groups. That's white supremacy. I do not agree with that. I don't believe anybody in this church agrees with that. The Apostle Peter, he thought, there was a time when he thought that Christianity was only for Jewish people. Did you know that? I mean, you talk about racism. He thought that Christianity was only for Jewish people, but God revealed to him that it is for everybody. Jesus is for everybody. And I mentioned last week in Acts chapter 10 about an angel that appeared to Cornelius. He was a Roman centurion. And the Bible says that the angel told Cornelius to call for Simon Peter. And Simon Peter would come and tell you words by which we could be saved. And I said to you that angels can't preach the gospel. Only you and I have the privilege of preaching the gospel. Are you with me? Now look what Peter said. When Peter realized that the gospel's for everybody, it's not just for Jewish people, this is what he said in Acts 10, verse 34. Peter said, "Now I know for certain that God doesn't show favoritism," and some Bibles say partiality, "with people, but God treats everyone on the same basis. It makes no difference what race of people one belongs to. If they show deep reverence for God and are committed to doing what's right, they are acceptable before Him." God is opposed to racism. God is opposed to prejudice, and so am I. And we have a very diverse church, which I love. People have commented on it to me often, and I love the fact that we have such diversity because God is a diverse God. Just to let you know that Jesus wasn't a white person. Jesus was not white with blonde hair and blue eyes. He was born in the Middle East. He was born in the Middle East. But I think that our culture is in crisis. I mean, think about it. Kirk Cameron, he just released a new series of children's books, Christian, and 50 libraries banned these books. And those same libraries allowed story time with drag queens. If you don't think our culture is in crisis, if you don't think, then I don't know where you're living. You talk to teachers in this church, like Pam and Michelle, and you see what's going on in some of the schools. Our daughter in Los Angeles, they had to pull their kids out of public school, the two oldest, and they put them into private Christian school at a great cost because of the things that they were being taught in the public school. Listen, our culture is in a crisis. All I'm trying to say is if there was ever a time when people need Jesus, it's now. That's all I'm trying to get through to you. The important it is for us to share the gospel. Are you with me? Amen. All right. Thank you, Miguel. We're ready. Now, today, I want to speak about how do I. Last week was why should I? And today is how do I? Because I'm going to teach you how to share the gospel. I'm going to train you how to share your faith. So there's no way that you can ever say you've never been trained to share the gospel. After today, you will have no excuse. Amen? Now, historically, Christianity has been spread one-on-one. Jesus had more than 40
one-on-one encounters. Did you know that? Example, when Jesus called Simon, who would become Simon Peter, and his brother Andrew, Jesus told them, come follow me in Luke chapter 5. In John chapter 4, Jesus had a conversation with a Samaritan woman at a well and led her to salvation. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, who was climbed up in a tree to look at Jesus, to watch Jesus, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today, I'm coming to your house. Jesus had more than 40 one-on-one encounters. So I'm going to share the gospel with you today. And in sharing the gospel with you, you're going to share it back with me. Are you with me? I've given you, I hope you, when you came in today, you were given the rescue, this handout. This is our gospel outline. Make sure you got one because you want to follow along with me today. If you don't have one of these, wave your hand. We'll get one to you. If you don't have one, help us out here, ushers. We've got a few people who don't have them. Now, don't get ahead of me. Stay with me, okay? Don't read ahead and then you walk out. I'm not sure. Stay with me. This is going to be so simple. Amen? Now, this is called the Romans Rescue Strategy. Because really, all you need to know to share the gospel is three scriptures out of the book of Romans. If you know those three scriptures, you know the gospel. A lot of us are scared to share our faith. Is anyone in here a little bit nervous about sharing your faith? Just a little nervous? Just, I'll be honest now. I understand. Because often, I don't know about you, but I'm unsure how to begin. How do you start the conversation? Well, it's real easy. Here we've given you some rescue questions. These are like opening questions. Here's a good one. How are you doing? That's an opener. Then, do you mind if we talk about spiritual things? I think that's a great way of segueing the conversation. Do you mind if we talk about spiritual things? Very few people will say no. And here's another one. Can I share with you the greatest news I ever heard in my life? Who's going to say no to that? How are you doing, Anna? Do you mind if we spoke about spiritual things? Can I tell you the greatest news I ever heard in my life? Who's going to say, I don't want to hear that? Now and then, maybe some people will, but most will agree. And once they agree, they've given you permission to share the gospel. Who wouldn't want to hear the greatest news you ever heard? Because what we're talking about, the rescue, is the greatest thing going on in the universe today. And when someone is sharing the gospel, that's the most important thing going on in the universe at that time. When you're sharing the gospel, angels are listening to you. It's the most important thing going on. Let me tell you, there's no game. There's no business deal. There's no vacation. There's no golfing trip. There's nothing that comes close to how important it is to share the gospel. Yet, 96% of Christians have never shared their faith one-on-one. But we're changing that here at Ascend. We're changing that. Nick and Deanne told me they were at a wedding last week. And the man who performed the ceremony was an atheist. And they happened to sit at his table. The man performing the ceremony was an atheist. How'd you like to get married by an atheist? And the thing that was amazing is Nick said within the first 2 minutes of meeting the man, he knew everything about him. This man was not embarrassed to tell everyone, I'm an atheist. Then the next thing he jumped onto was abortion, right? I believe in abortion. Within 2 minutes, Nick knew all this stuff because this guy was not shy. Yeah. Now, sometimes people say, I'm an atheist. Usually, atheists believed in God at one time or another. Even though they say they don't believe in God, they believed at one time, but usually something happened to them that disappointed them and caused them to stop believing. So if a person says, I'm an atheist, you could say, can I ask you, what caused you to not believe in God? At what point in your life did you make that decision? Was there something that happened? The man who said, as I said, You know, atheists are quick and bold to share their beliefs. I believe we should be quick and bold to share our belief too. We got good news. Now, once you've started the conversation, do you mind if we talk about spiritual things? Can I share with you the greatest news I ever heard? Then you begin to share the gospel by saying, now, first, I've got to tell you the bad news. You mean there's bad news? Yes, the gospel starts out with bad news. In fact, you must understand that the gospel is offensive because there is bad news in the gospel. What's the bad news? Look at your notes. The bad news is we are all drowning. We are all sinners. Romans 3, verse 23. That's the first scripture from Romans you want to know. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, as you're talking to the person, listen, the bad news is we're all sinners. We're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Does that include you? Yeah, that includes me. Say the bad news, everybody, say to me, the bad news is we all are sinners. That's the bad news, right? You could say to the person you're talking to, let's say you're talking to Carol. Carol, say I'm talking to Carol. Say that. You could even, if you wanted to, you could show them the scripture. You don't have to show them the scripture, but if you wanted to, you could show them Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Carol, does that include you? Yes, that includes me. I've never had anyone say, no, I'm perfect. That doesn't include me. We're all sinners, and our sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, verse 2, it is your sins that separate you from your God. There's this ocean-like chasm between me and God that is caused by my sin, and I cannot bridge it. That's the bad. The bad news is we're all sinners, and we're all separated from God. But the worst news, you mean there's worse news? The worst news is we can't save ourselves. We cannot rescue ourselves. Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. What are wages? Wages is the payment that you deserve. You see, on our own, there's nothing that we can do to remove our sin. Amen. So say that with me. Say the worst news is that we can't save ourselves. Now I'm going to throw in an extra scripture. You don't have to know this one. But Romans 5 verse 6, it says, for when the time was right, the anointed one came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak and powerless to save themselves. You see, we cannot save ourselves. So I would say to Carol, Carol, what are wages? She would reply, that's the payment that you deserve. You see, we work and we receive wages, we receive payment. And the compensation for our conduct is condemnation. If we got what we deserve, it would be eternal separation from God in a place called hell. That's what we deserve. We're all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. We're all lost at sea. We're all drowning in sin, sinking to the bottom. We deserve to go to hell. That is horrendous news. Would you agree? The bad news is I'm a sinner. The worst news is I have this gap between myself and God, this ocean-like gap that I cannot bridge. I cannot save myself. And at this point, if you wanted to, you could illustrate this because people are visual learners. You don't have to be an artist, but you could illustrate it with a little drawing. Okay, so let's draw. This is a boat. Let's pretend that's a boat, and this is God. Pretend that's a boat, and over here, here's a man. Here's humanity. And between us, this is sin. There's a distance between God and man, and there's this chasm. We're drowning. We're going down. Amen? The bad news is that we are sinners. Our sin separates us from God. We're drowning in the ocean and sinking to the bottom. We're headed for an eternity in hell. The worst news is we can't save ourselves, but many are trying to. Many are trying to save themselves. Some people think, well, if I'll just be religious enough. Religion falls short. Doesn't bridge the gap. You see, you'll just end up a religious sinner. Well, what if I get baptized? I'll get baptized. You'll just end up a drenched sinner. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to give money to charity. You'll just be a generous sinner. Well, I'm going to do good works. You'll be a good sinner. But you'll still be a sinner. See, at this point, you can explain the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is a man-made system. Religion is based upon what you do. Do. That's religion. Read it. That's religion. It's a man-made system of do's and don'ts in order to appease God. Well, if I do this and if I do that and if I don't do this and if I don't do that. Let me ask you, would God be so cruel as to set up a system where you don't really know whether you're going to make it into heaven or not? You've got to spin the dice. No, he wouldn't. God would never do that. Christianity is very different to religion. Christianity is based upon what Jesus has already done. That is Christianity. I'm sure it's not spelt right. That is a relationship with God. Religion is do, Christianity is based upon what Jesus has already done. See, a lot of people think that if they can just do enough good things, then their good deeds cancel out their bad deeds. And then God will accept me and I'll get into heaven. It's sort of like a scorecard. It's like a scorecard. I'm going to rub this out. I don't have one. Bear with me. I was never a teacher in school, but there you go. All right, that's good enough. Now, it's kind of like a scorecard. Thank you, Natalie. Imagine a scorecard, okay? Like that. And let's say the X's represent all the bad things you do. It's all the bad things I do, the X's. And then on this scorecard, the O's represent all the good things I do. So what a lot of people think is, well, I went out last night. I got wasted. That's an X. But I came to church today. I put $100 in the offering. That's an O. So the O cancels out the X. Doesn't work like that. I mean, it doesn't work like that. Now, the bad news is I'm a sinner. The worst news is there's nothing I can do about it to save myself. There's nothing I can do to bridge the gap. But the good news, now we get to the good news. What's the good news? The good news is God has rescued us by sending his son Jesus to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. In Romans 6 verse 23, look what it says. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So say it with me. Say the bad news is we're sinners. The worst news, we can't save ourselves. But the good news is God sent his son Jesus to rescue us and give us eternal life. You're preaching the gospel now. Do you realize that? The good news is God did something about it. God sent his son Jesus, the ring, Jesus, the ring, to bridge the gap. So God sends Jesus. Jesus is the ring to bridge the gap between man and God. Are you with me so far? God sent Jesus to do what we couldn't do. God put the sins of the world and the punishment that we deserve, he put it all on Jesus. Eternal life is a gift of God through Jesus Christ. I would say to Carol, if I'm talking to Carol, Carol, what's a gift? Can you work for a gift, Carol? No, you just receive a gift. You don't have to work for a gift. And that's what Christianity is all about. You either receive it or you don't. Now, my job is not to make anybody receive it. My job is to tell them. Are you with me? John 1, verse 12. But to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. All they needed to do was to trust him to save them. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you've been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation. For it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ, so no one will ever be able to boast. For salvation is never a reward for the good things or human striving. I am not going to heaven because of the good things I do. I'm going to heaven because of the good thing Jesus did for me, and I receive him and I believe in him. Right? So let me tell you the best news. Let's go over it again. What's the bad news? What's the worst news? What's the good news? What's the best news? You can receive Jesus now and be saved. That's the best news. Romans 10 verse 9. So there's three scriptures you want to know. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, and Romans 10 verse 9. So we need to know. And you even have to tell them. Because when you're talking to someone who doesn't know anything about God, you can just say the Bible says. But if they say, well, where does the Bible say that? It's good to know Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, in Romans 10 verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So then I would say, Carol, will you receive him today? Will you receive him? Say that with me. Will you receive him? Tell them the bad news. Everyone say the bad news is we're all sinners. The worst news, we can't save ourselves. The good news, God sent Jesus to rescue us. The best news, you can receive Jesus now and be saved. Will you do this? Say, will you do this? You just preach the gospel. That is the gospel. And for me, that's so easy to remember. At this point, I would say, Carol, is there any reason why you shouldn't pray right now and receive Jesus into your life? More often than not, they'll agree. And you can lead them in the prayer of salvation, the sinner's prayer. Now, I don't force anybody. I don't force anybody. I say to them, look, Carol, it's up to you. But if you want me to pray with you, here's the prayer I prayed that changed my life forever. And pray with them. There's a prayer right there on your handout. Say it with me. I am a sinner. I need to be forgiven. I believe Jesus Christ, your son, died for my sins, and he's alive right now. I turn away from my sin. I confess Jesus. Christ is my Lord. I receive him into my life, and I thank you for giving me eternal life. You just shared the gospel. You got no excuse. You know how to do it. You trained. You're armed and dangerous. Now you need to combine this with knowing your testimony. Like we've been saying the last few weeks. In 1 Peter 3 verse 15 it says, if anyone asks you about the hope living within you, always be ready. Tell your neighbor, always be ready. Always be ready. Always be ready to do what? Always be ready to explain your faith with gentleness and respect. Now listen, don't argue with people. You will not win anyone to Jesus by arguing with them. If they want to start arguing, back off. You're not going to win them by arguing the Bible. You want to stick to sharing the good news of the gospel. Now, but you want to know your story. Be ready to explain the hope within you. All of us have a story. We have a testimony. Your testimony is comprised of three things. Number one, your life before you received Jesus. What was your life like before you received Jesus? Number two, how did you become a follower of Jesus? And number three, what has God done in your life since then? Now for me, I received Jesus when I was a teenager. I was 16. I was looking for purpose. I was looking for peace. I was looking for fulfillment. I was looking for satisfaction. And I couldn't find it until I received Jesus. One day my mom invited me to go with her to church, almost dragged me along there. At the end of the service, the pastor asked if you'd like to receive Jesus in your life. And I received Jesus and my life changed. Today, I have so much purpose. I have so much peace. I have so much joy. I have so much satisfaction. You've got to figure what is your testimony, your story, and write it down, write it on this, so that you're ready to share it briefly with someone. Folks, listen, let's do what God has commanded us to do. Let's share the gospel and make disciples. My prayer is that we would be a church that is passionate for lost people. My prayer is that we would go out of here and realize that every single one of us is called, commanded, and empowered to share our faith, to share the gospel, to go and make disciples. I want, my desire is to have a church filled of people who are soul winners. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Let's not miss another opportunity. I believe a lot of us, myself included, we've missed opportunities. Let's not miss another opportunity. Sometimes, you know, we'll say something a little bit about the Lord or invite someone to church, and which we all need to be doing that every week. Thank you for inviting people. Invite someone to church, especially, you know, we've got Christmas coming up. Invite someone to Christmas Eve. But the weakness in most Christians is we don't share the gospel and we don't close the deal. Who in your life is that one person that you need to share this with? Who are you discipling? God has called all of us. Jesus said, go out into the world and make disciples. Who are you discipling? Every one of us should be discipling somebody. You got the tools? If you get questions that you don't know, welcome to the club. What if someone asks me something, I can't answer them? That happens to me all the time. Just say, you know what, I don't know. I'll find out and I'll get back to you. And then get back to sharing the gospel. You don't have to know everything about the Bible. You'll hear this. Why would a good God allow bad things to happen to good people? An easy response is, well, the worst thing happened to his son, Jesus. See, you got to understand, we live in a fallen world. Satan is called the god of this world. That's why when bad things happen, we don't understand. You know, you got to realize that Satan is called the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact image of God. Satan blinds people's minds to the gospel. That's why we have to pray for people. We need to share with them. We need to witness to them. And we also need to pray for them. See, Satan is a thief. He came to destroy. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. It's easy to identify the works of Satan and the works of Jesus, because anything that steals and kills, destroys, that's the devil. But God is good. He came to bring us abundant life. God is always good to us. He sent Jesus to rescue us. Amen. As I close today, I want to encourage you. Proverbs 24 verse 11 says, go and rescue the perishing. Go, tell your neighbor, go rescue the perishing. It says, be their savior. Why would you stand back and watch them stagger to their death? Why would you say, it's none of my business? The one who knows you completely and judges your every motive is also the keeper of your souls and not just yours. He sees through your excuses and he holds you responsible for failing to help those whose lives are threatened. We are responsible to reach the people around us who are drowning and lost and headed for an eternity in hell. We've got to go rescue the perishing. Who's the perishing? Jesus said in John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Go rescue the perishing. Will you do it? Will you be God's ambassador? Will you be his witness? Will you speak for him? Will you make disciples? Now that you know how to share the gospel, will you do it? Romans 1 verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved. And the Message Bible, and I think this is my final verse, it says, it's news I am most proud to proclaim, this extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts in Him. Let's do what God has called us to do, what He's commanded us to do, what He's empowered us to do. He's given us the power of the Holy. We don't do this in our own strength. Every time you start talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to start flowing through you. Like someone who's the comedian, let's get her done. Let's rescue drowning lost people. I want to encourage you, bring someone to the Christmas Eve service. Use, when you came in today, you were given the rescue, the handout with that gospel outline for you to be able to keep, and a couple of these invite cards. Use them. Invite someone for Christmas Eve. I'm going to preach about the Christmas rescue. Amen. Did you get something out of this today? You think you can remember it? What's the bad news? We're all sinners. What's the worst news? We can't save ourselves. What's the good news? God sent Jesus to rescue us. What's the best news? You can receive Jesus now and be saved. You think you got it? How many ready? How many ready? Come on, this week I want you to go out there. Because you are ready. God's going to bring people across your path. He's going to open doors for you. Don't miss that opportunity. And never be discouraged. Because when you share with someone, and maybe it doesn't look like, maybe they don't get saved. But you don't know. Because maybe in a week or two from now, someone else share with them, and they do. You're sowing seeds. You're sowing seeds. Let's not miss an opportunity. Can you say amen, somebody? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. You needed to hear this today. So did I. Amen. I want to say thank you to all of our servant leaders, everyone who served today. We appreciate you so much. Our media team, our kids, church workers, our ushers, our prayers, our greeters, our worship team, everyone who's involved today. Thank you. We appreciate you so much. Stand up with me as we close today. We didn't have any visitors here. No first-time people, right? No. So I'm going to just go ahead and close. We're going to have our Christmas Around the World potluck lunch right after church. Don't forget, next Sunday, we have our live nativity scene. And the kids' church are going to have the happy birthday Jesus party. Every kid will get a gift. Every child will receive a gift. And then Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock, December 24th. Excuse me. Thank you. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. We'll be done by about 7:15 on Christmas Eve. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We are so grateful that somebody shared the gospel with us and that we were rescued and we were saved. We're so thankful, Lord, that heaven is our eternal home. We're so thankful that you are with us everywhere we go. You're our protector. You're our provider. You're our healer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are always with us. And Lord, I pray that your word that has been shared today, that it goes deep into every person's heart, and that we are not just hearers of your word, but that we do what we've heard, that we put into practice what we've heard. Thank you, Lord, for raising each and every one of us up to be a mighty soul winner. Thank you, Lord, for raising up disciple makers in this church. Thank you that this is a soul winning church that is rescuing, reaching lost people. Lord, we give you all the praise. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. You are our strength. You're the one who empowers us. We thank you this week, Lord, that you open doors for us to be able to speak for you. In the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen, somebody. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. Stay and have something to eat with us. We'll see you next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Give us some Christmas music.
From Bethlehem soil grew Calvary Sequoia. Shadow restlessly hold labors waiting inside.